As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome aboard The Athletic's Can't Wait Jets podcast, your nonstop shop for all things Jets with Tim McMaster, Zach Rosenblatt, and Marissa Dunn.
Can't wait.
Hey, Jets fans, welcome into another episode of the Can't Wait podcast. Tim McMaster here along with Zach Rosenblatt and Marissa Dunn. One episode in the books, Zach. You feeling like a veteran at this point?
Yeah. Connor, who are you? Who?
I love it, Zach. I absolutely love it. You're just crushing the whole, you know, crush on Connor thing. This is
to
great.
Be fair, I've been spending way too much time with that guy. We went to like a Mets-Phillies game on Saturday with some people and...
Actually, I know.
Just I'll make fun of Connor real quick and then we can move forward. So we were planning.
Everyone will appreciate that.
Yeah. We were planning on going to the Phillies Mets game at Citi Field. My first time at Citi Field. Connor, his sister, his wife, our friend Andy, who also covers the Jets for NJ.com. Connor like goes ahead and buys three tickets for him, his wife and his sister. And he's like, you guys buy these two seats behind us for like checking with us, really. And then we go to do it, and like the seats behind him, you can either buy one ticket or three tickets. It's like they're not set selling them as two. And so those tickets became not an option pretty quick. And then eventually, like all the seats were filling up and getting too expensive. So we wound up having standing room only behind.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And we had like a drunk Jets fan talking us up. We had a drunk Giants fan trying to tell me the Giants are going to win 9 games. I had to walk away. I blame Connor for that. It was still a fun game. It was like 1-0. Connor.
Yeah, DeGrom, right? DeGrom pitched.
Yeah, DeGrom versus Nola. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about the Mets because, you know, my Yankees have not been doing too well lately. So, you know, it's a little salty over here, but we'll move past it.
We have plenty to get to. We are talking Zach Wilson and Joe Flacco, who's a superstar, and maybe even a little Jimmy Garoppolo into the conversation. We'll talk a little bit about the offensive line as well. Risers and fallers. Zach had a story out this week talking about that. We won't get into all of them, but some of the highlights there. Hint, another quarterback in the risers and fallers. But first, before we get to all of that stuff, something much more important. It was brought to our attention on Twitter. Hats off to NYJ Matt, the Braxton Berrios 2022 Madden likeness. Marissa actually spotted it, passed it along to us. It's magical. On the left, obviously, Braxton Berrios, what he really looks like. And then on the right, the EA Sports version. And I don't know. I texted you guys. I mean, you wonder how this stuff happens. Like, did the graphic designer in charge of the Jets, like, have Braxton on his fantasy team last year? He got screwed at some point during the season. He was like, you know what? The heck with that guy. I'm going to just make him look like this. I don't know. Thoughts?
Well, first of all, I'd say the picture on the left isn't even like an accurate one of Braxton because he got the slim shady hair now.
Right.
So it looks even less like him. I was saying there's an actor named Paul Dano who played like the Riddler in the new Batman movie. And I think that's what the one on the right looks like. And does not look like Braxton Berrios. Madden needs to step up its graphics game. If you play like NBA 2K, they get like everybody perfect. And I'm sure there's some really bad ones. If you just go through the Jets roster, you can probably find some other bad ones, but that's pretty bad.
the thing about it that stands out is like Braxton Berrios is kind of within New York, obviously he's a very popular player, and you expect like the last guy that barely made the roster, maybe they didn't take the time to get his face right. But I mean, Berrios is a popular guy. He's a guy with a, you know, multi-year contract. It's surprising, but you mentioned the NBA, I guess less players. Maybe that's the one advantage they have versus the full 53-man roster. But yeah.
Braxton chimed in last night on Twitter, too, and said this is egregious. He said this is egregious.
And also, maybe I shouldn't say this because I have to cover him, but I'm not feeling the Slim Shady look either, personally.
Fair enough.
But I mean, I'm saying that as someone who doesn't have much hair, so I shouldn't really say anything. That's why I'm wearing it.
Let's move on to Braxton Berrios' BFF. That is Zach Wilson, who obviously the big news since we last recorded the injury during the first preseason game on Friday, from the, you know, that night and just Jets fans ready to throw in the towel and the negativity and here we go again and everything you would expect. Actually, the news has been pretty positive since then. He's going to miss possibly 4 to 6 weeks. Arthroscopic surgery was successful on Tuesday, still waiting for an unsuccessful arthroscopic surgery. But we'll start here, Zach. 4 to 6 weeks, you would expect the Jets to be cautious, right? I know some people are like, oh, maybe if everything goes well, he could be there for week one. To me, especially when you consider they're playing the Ravens, that's just crazy.
Yeah. So to start off, I should say when the initial thing happened, obviously there was all that speculation that he tore his ACL. Everybody in the press box worried about that. I think I probably had 4 or 5 beat writers come up to me and be like, welcome to the beat, Zach. This is a just something great. Like it's last week felt like it took an entire month between the Mekhi Becton stuff and signing Dwayne Brown and what's happened actually when we were on the pod right before the pod. That's right. And then the Zach Wilson stuff and then all the speculation, like it was just a crazy few days. And not like a quarter or two after the injury happened, I had like had a source tell me that it maybe wasn't as bad as it looked like. And it started seeming that way when you see Robert Saleh after the game. He's doing the thing because the whole Mekhi thing was such a weird situation where he came out all optimistic. And then, as you know, he's out for the year now. So as he was really trying to temper his optimism, which you could tell, like he like wanted to say, like, it looks good. You know, he said that the ACL is intact and he's like really resisting saying how optimistic he is, even though it's like you can kind of read it on his face that he like felt pretty good about where it was. And based on where it started to where it is now, I'd say it's probably the best case scenario. There's still a lot of concerns here. I'd be shocked if he was there for week one. I don't see any way that happens because week one's in like 3.5 weeks, something like that. So, and he'd have to be back in time to practice for at least a full week, you would think. You can't just throw him out there, especially against the Ravens. So I would think a more realistic goal is the Browns game. And I still think it's possible he misses that one too, just based on however the timeline goes, his recovery. And then when he gets back, you wonder like how uncomfortable he's going to be. Is he going to be willing to run? And he's missing a lot of valuable practice time. That's one thing Saleh said the other day. He's like, it's really unfortunate that he's missing these joint practices in particular against even a team like the Giants, because they have like a very unique like blitz package, and it's going to be a good test for him. I was kind of waiting for that to like start evaluating him. His first series in the preseason game was pretty rough. He like threw it over a receiver's head and then threw a bad interception. So that's like the last image you have of him. And then he got injured, went on a play. He probably should have ran out of bounds, but he'll be back early in the season, but I would plan for Joe Flacco for at least a week. And it's pretty amazing that it's going to be going against the Ravens in week one too.
Yeah, I mean, it adds a layer, obviously, to the drama of that game, just Flacco going against the team that he won a Super Bowl with. And the thing about Flacco, though, is he's looked great this summer. And in his, I guess, Tuesday, when he's out there really for one of the first times as QB1, he was incredible. I think you used the word dominant in your story. 10 straight completions to kick things off, ended up 14 of 17, 4 touchdowns, no picks. What are the, as good as he's looked, obviously he's 37 years old. So like, how do you weigh that? Like, he's looked tremendous. It's training camp versus we know this guy is past the prime that he once had when he won a Super Bowl.
And just goes back to the question, is Joe Flacco elite? We have to ask that all over again. I think there are multiple layers to this. I think on one hand, I think the ceiling is probably lower because Zach has, like, you know, obviously more talent. Whether he, you know, he's still developing as a quarterback and all that stuff, but like at the very least, their offense has better potential with him at quarterback. On the flip side, you know, I've talked to some people even around the league, and they think that it'll allow having Joe Flacco in there, someone who is who he is, and he thinks fast. You know, he's a game manager at this stage of his career. He's not going to like go and win you any games, but he can run Michael Flores' offense. And so I've heard people say this might even be better in terms of Michael Flores' ability to run his offense the way he wants to. So maybe these first few weeks, you see the offense maybe flowing a little better than it might if Zach Wilson was out there in week one. And I think you have to temper your expectations. Like, again, it's Joe Flacco's a veteran and he can't get hit in camp and he's quite slow. So I think he benefits from all of that. And that's maybe why he's you know, doing like gangbusters these last few. I mean, he was like 14 to 17 on Tuesday is what I counted. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to go and upset the Ravens and, you know, I don't know if they'll beat the Browns with him. I mean, maybe they're a little more competitive in that game. I don't know. But long-term, it's not ideal for Zach to be missing this time, but I think this team trusts Joe Flacco. I think he can run the offense. Maybe they're less dynamic, but I don't know. It's kind of like both ways. It's like you need Zach out there so you can get a full evaluation. But if they want to like really, you know, see what this offense can look like when it's running the way LaFleur wants it, then I'm also interested to see what that looks like.
Yeah, and that's what we saw a year ago, right? When Zach Wilson was out, we saw Mike White and Joe Flacco both look better in the offense than Zach had, and then Zach looked a little better when he came back. And one of the things that we talked about on this podcast at the time was the benefits that Zach actually got at that point from being able to watch those guys successfully run the offense that he had not successfully run early in the season in 2021. I feel like that benefit's probably not the case now, right? Like, he's injured now and there's really nothing good about him being injured this time around.
Yeah. It's the glass half full thing. It's like, it could have been worse. It's kind of like the positive spin on this, but yeah, I mean, and this might be better for even like, you know, guys like Garrett Wilson and these tight ends and, you know, the other guys in the offense where they can kind of maybe learn a little better about where they need to be. Whereas Zach Wilson, a lot of his throws kind of wind up being, you know, when he's scrambling around and just doing something off schedule. I don't think you're going to see a lot of off schedule Joe Flacco throws. So this might be beneficial for like these receivers, like learning this offense with him. And again, like, I don't know, it's a very interesting spot because they need Zach Wilson to be good, but also you don't know if he is yet. And if you're trying to develop this offense and figure out what you have, like, I don't know, it's like an interesting back and forth, and this is definitely not beneficial for Zach specifically missing all this time. Like, I think that needs to be said, because this training camp time is very important to getting into chemistry with these receivers and these tight ends. And it's a really new offense. They have a new left tackle now. He hasn't played with him a single snap yet, so it could get bumpy when he comes back, honestly. And that's, you don't want to start off too slow because the beginning of their schedule is pretty hard.
Yeah, it is a brutal start. We're going to get to that new left tackle as well. One more thing on the quarterbacks before we move on, though, and that is, a quarterback gets hurt this training camp and you're always going to hear the name Jimmy Garoppolo because he's just out there. The 49ers are willing to trade him to anyone. Just like, raise your hand and nobody's raised their hand. Yet. Go ahead. What's that?
I was saying he's not even practicing with them right now. So because they're
right.
Trying to
trade him. Fourth string, I think, on that team, even though he obviously took them to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, Zach Wilson expected to be back after a couple of weeks. It doesn't seem like a good fit. But so why do we still hear all this chatter about Jimmy Garoppolo?
Well, part of it with the Jets, too, like, it was happening like so fast. Right? Like, it was simultaneous with him getting hurt. Everybody's like, Jimmy G's coming. It's a lock. I'm like, maybe we wait to see if he actually tore his ACL instead of seeing all the Twitter doctors. But, there's connections to the Jets staff, as I think is why people think it's like such an obvious fit. You know, Robert Saleh and Mike LaFleur are both in San Francisco. LaFleur in particular was his like passing game coordinator. I don't really know what they think of Jimmy G from their time there. I mean, there's a lot of stories coming out now about how Jimmy G, maybe not the best teammate. He like disappears for the offseason and coaches and players can't really get a hold of him, which is not ideal for a guy you want to lead. But I don't know. It never really made that much sense to me because, first of all, I think people don't really seem to believe how high the Jets are on Joe Flacco and Mike White. I think they legitimately are. I think both those guys, they view as starting caliber. They keep saying that over and over again. I mean, they could be making that up, I guess, but I think they believe in those guys. And on top of that, like, Jimmy G makes like $20 million and you're going to have to inherit that entire salary. They don't really have that much cap space. And not like the Jets are like serious contenders this year. So I don't know what a 1 year of Jimmy G does compared to like just having Joe Flacco out there. Like I get the connection. He knows the offense and in theory he's better than their options now, but he also is coming off a shoulder injury. Like I just don't think it makes a lot of sense considering where the Jets are at to like trade assets for a guy like that. So, I mean, this will probably come up again. Like, you know, there's going to be times where Zach Wilson looks bumpy, like I said, or Joe Flacco looks like the Joe Flacco that is 2-16 in his last 18 starts. And then maybe Jets fans start panicking, but I just don't see them trading for Jimmy G.
And the time's ticking for San Francisco too, right? I mean, there's a point where the contract becomes guaranteed and they have to move him before then.
Yeah.
So maybe the asking price gets lower and lower, but I would imagine Zach Wilson, unfortunately, probably won't be the only quarterback in the NFL to get hurt this summer. It's just kind of, you know, it's the NFL. Not. So, yeah. So I would imagine Jimmy G is going to be moved at some point. All right. You mentioned the new left tackle, Duane Brown. We found that out this week when he got to practice that George Fant officially moving to the right side. Duane Brown will play where he has played his entire career in the NFL, and that is on the left. I don't think anybody's – have you gotten a chance to talk to Fant yet?
No. Not yet. I think we're supposed to talk to him like tomorrow, Friday. I mean, that's like a very like interesting part of it because he played so well left tackle. I think he's been pretty open about the fact that he wants to be a left tackle. He's in his contract year. If there's one player that he would have been willing to move for, it's probably Duane Brown. Ironically, Duane Brown, he got traded to the Seahawks because George Fant tore his ACL 1 year, and that pushed George Fant to right tackle back then too when he came back. So it's happening again. I mean, this is just the best five in terms of their offensive line. It's kind of they're only, you're not going to play a 37-year-old at a new position this late in his career. And I don't know, it's a very interesting thing. And, you know, the contract, the details came out on Duane Brown's contract. It's a 2-year deal. It's like a pretty legit 2-year deal. They can get out of it after this year, but they take a pretty big cap hit, which a little, I mean, they wanted to spread out the cap hit this year is why they did that. But so in theory, they're going to be entering next season with a 38-year-old left tackle. They could cut him again if it's a disaster this year or whatever. But I don't know. It's interesting because Saleh, before Becton had gotten hurt, he'd been talking about how important it is to get all five guys out there together at the same time. Duane Brown still hasn't really started yet. George Fant only recently started practicing at right tackle. They have a new left guard in Lincoln Thomason. Elijah Vera Tucker's at a new spot in right guard. So it's another thing where you might start seeing some bumps and, you know, some rustiness from this O-line to start the year, which isn't ideal, again, when you're going against the Ravens and their defense and the Browns, and they have Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney. And I'm a little concerned about that, but the talent is certainly there for this to still be a good O-line.
Yeah, maybe better. I think maybe better than it was a year ago. You mentioned Duane Brown and being on the left side, getting in obviously in with this team, but from all accounts, he's at least coming in fantastic shape, right? It seems like everybody that's seen him has said he's 37, but he looks fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was before they signed him, even Joe Douglas went on the radio and said that he was in amazing shape. I think that one thing I'm going to be keeping an eye on is when he was in with the Seahawks last year, they gave him rest days like pretty frequently. I think he missed like a lot of the practices during the season just because they were giving him veteran rest days, and he played every game. So it worked out. So I'm curious to see how the Jets do that. You know, he wasn't in OTAs or minicamp with anyone. So I feel like he probably needs to get conditioned back into, even if he was working out on his own, playing shape is a little different. So that's going to be something to keep an eye on. And again, like this goes back to the original problem they had when Becton was here, is they don't have depth behind those two. Like Max Mitchell, I think, is pretty clearly not ready to start. You don't really want to play Chumu Edaga, who's banged up right now. Connor McDermott's out, and he wasn't playing particularly well. So you're kind of back to the point where you're like, we can't really afford for Duane Brown to get hurt or we're in trouble again.
Yeah, let the guy rest. So the 37-year-old left tackle blocking for the 37-year-old quarterback. Amazing to think about that.
Great
when
point.
You think about this Jets.
They came in the same draft class.
Oh, yeah. And this Jets team overall so young, and then you have two of your most important positions, or maybe your two most important positions, just 37-year-old guys looking for that one last bit of glory.
I think Flacco and Brown are older than like many of the position coaches on this team. Actually, older than LaFleur, too. Yeah, it's pretty wild. That's pretty rare to have like that young of a staff and like two guys that have been around since like some of these coaches were in the league, like Miles Austin and stuff like that.
Yeah, that is crazy. All right, let's take a short little break, and it's an enjoyable break. Manscaped's back with us for a little bit, so we'll enjoy this read, and then we'll come back. We'll talk about risers and fallers and what to expect with two preseason games coming up next week. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Just so you know, Zach, we definitely would have made Connor read that ad.
How was it reading some of those lines for you? And it seems like it was pretty enjoyable.
It was awkward and slightly uncomfortable, but we do what we do. We are proud of our
sponsors. We love our sponsors.
Oh, yeah, we love it.
All of our sponsors. We love all of our sponsors. It's funny, we do that and we still get the comments in the chat about, I don't know if you saw this one, Marissa, about the two Jets. The two 37-year-old Jets will be fine because they both eat Magic Spoon for breakfast.
Mm. Yeah, I saw that.
Very, very nice. Love our commenters. Yes.
But all right, let's move on. You had a story out earlier this week, Zach, and it's a good time to do this, I think, through one preseason game, two to go. Risers and fallers on this Jets team. We're going to stay positive for the most part and stick to mostly risers. I have, I think, one or two fallers at the end. But the impressive thing about, I think, the list of risers that you have is this is a team, and one of its strengths, by all accounts, is going to be the defensive line. And you have other guys already stepping up in those positions to almost just add the depth to that level because you already know who the main guys are going to be. Let's start with Michael Clemens, 7 quarterback pressures against the Eagles. He's an older rookie, but you see him on TV, and he's a massive guy.
Yeah, he's been like the talk of camp for the last like week or so. Robert Saleh keeps comparing him to Debo from the Friday franchise, which if you've seen those movies, he's like a very large, intimidating man who like doesn't take crap from anyone. It's kind of the idea. And so Michael Clemens, he's very intimidating. Like there was a play in practice the other day. I forget which running back it was, but a running back like caught a pass, and I wish there was a photo because Michael Clemens was like trailing right behind him. And if it was in a game, he would have just absolutely destroyed that guy. And then like just, you know, yeah, it would have been rough. But he's impressed me quite a bit. He's large, he's strong, he's like more athletic than I thought. He's been having a really good camp. I think he's kind of forcing his way onto the field. I almost feel like he's more ready to play than Jermaine Johnson right now, which I'm not sure I expected. But like you mentioned, he is older. He's like 25, I think, already, which is really old for. I mean, he's older than Zach Wilson. He's older than some guys in their third year. He's a guy that's. I think he's almost forcing his way into the rotation. Though there's so many defensive line, like as you said, I wrote this article, and I think most of the people I put under risers were defensive linemen at the end of the day. Like it's a very deep group. I'm very interested to see what they do with like some of these guys here. They're not going to be able to keep all of them. So is Joe Douglas trying to make calls and, you know, either get draft picks or other players or whatever. But Michael Clemens is a guy that's really stood out to me. And I think the fan base seems to be really hyped on him too. And he's the kind of guy that they're going to really like because he's going to light somebody up at some point this season. And it's going to be wild.
Yeah, it's just he looks the part, that's for sure. Yeah. One more of the defensive linemen that I wanted to mention for different reasons, really, is Jabari Zuniga. And the reason is this is a guy who obviously, you know, was drafted by this team and there was some pretty fairly high expectations. And he's been basically a disappointment through two seasons. But now season three going into it, at least, finally kind of figuring it out. Is that fair to say, or what do you think the difference has been?
Yeah, you know, he really has made plays in camp. I think he had a sack or two in the game against the Eagles. I can't remember. He was kind of the forgotten man in this group because they added all these guys. They signed all these free agents. They drafted Jermaine Johnson and Michael Clemens. And, but he's a guy that I really think of when I said, like, I wonder if Joe Douglas is shopping these guys around because I just don't see a path to him getting on the field unless they're higher on him than a guy like Jacob Martin or or Jermaine Johnson or something like that. So I could see him being a guy that gets traded because I think he'd get scooped up if they cut him on the waiver wire. He's like one of those cut down guys. But yeah, that's the thing. Like, you know, you didn't go into camp expecting much of Jabari Zuniga just based on what his first couple of years were like. But he stood out, and they're going to have a really tough decision ahead of them when it comes to the roster cuts, and he's one of the hard ones.
All right, let's move to the offensive side of the ball. And I actually added this one this morning because you got to talk to the assistant coaches this morning via Zoom. And one of the guys you talked to was Taylor Embry, who's the running backs coach. And he had some fun things to say. But Zonovan Knight, when he, you know, when they signed him, I think everybody was just excited about this guy's name. It's a fantastic name. But then he comes out. Bam Knight. They call him what?
Bam Knight. His nickname is Bam.
Bam. Gotcha. And he's been really good. And obviously this is a team that has probably 1A and 1B at running back. But where does he kind of fit in as far as trying to find a spot on the roster?
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's another guy that's just made plays throughout camp. A lot of it's been against the backups, but, you know, they're pretty deep at running back. You have the two that are locked in, and Breece Hall and Michael Carter. Feel pretty good about Tevin Coleman probably making the team as like the veteran third guy. So, and if they keep a fullback, Nick Bowden, then, you know, you're wondering if they keep four, would they keep five running backs or would they keep four and cut Bowden? But he's in the mix for like that extra spot if they keep another one. I would say he's competing with guys like Michael P. Ryan and Ty Johnson. I think he's been better than both of those guys, but I think they probably figure they can get him through the practice squad. Like, it's a risk when you cut guys like that, especially he had a touchdown in the preseason game. He keeps playing well. Teams always need running backs, backups and stuff like that, but he feels like a practice squad guy, but I would not be shocked either if he made the 53.
Well, even with
just a warning, go ahead, Marissa.
No, I was just going to say the fact with Wilson's injury, they're going to have to keep three quarterbacks on the roster,
yeah,
which eliminates a spot from one of these other positions. So that's obviously something to keep in mind.
Yeah.
For
plus, how do you cut Chris Streveler? Maybe they keep four quarterbacks.
Right. Hey, whoa. I have a whole segment for Chris Streveler coming up. So don't get carried away. I was going to say, though, you got to be careful, Zach. You mentioned Ty Johnson. He's a terp.
Yes. Yeah.
Marissa, are you going to be okay if he's not on this roster?
Well, no, but I know he'll end up somewhere, so confident.
Yeah, he'll
get
picked up by somebody, yeah.
Yeah, turtles land on their feet, so, you know, be all right.
Is that true?
I don't know.
I don't know, I just made that up right now, so.
Don't they have, like, a little...
Maybe.
They go really slow.
Yeah, slow and steady, you know? But...
Maybe depending on how...
running back.
Maybe depending on how disgruntled running backs, you know, turn out in Cleveland. Maybe there's a spot for Ty Johnson.
Hey,
I don't know.
Yeah, never know.
Anyway. all right, time for Chris Streveler. You mentioned him. And I think I texted you at some point after the game on Friday night. Can't wait for the Chris Streveler hype this week. And it's been disappointing. I'm going to be honest. Like, Jets fans have been very realistic about who Chris Streveler is. I was hoping that... Well, that's true, too. I was hoping it'd be over the top. Like, here's the guy. Like, forget Mike. Moving on from Mike White. Forget Joe Flacco. Chris Streveler led us to the victory. But the guy is a great story. I mean, he played – spot in my heart. I spent 2.5 years living in South Dakota. He played college football at South Dakota. Didn't get drafted. Couldn't find a job in the NFL. Went north of the border. Played a couple of years in Canada for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Remember, Winnipeg's hockey team is the Jets. Little tie in there. He won a Grey Cup championship up there where he was kind of the backup, and then he came and filled in. I don't want to give too much away, but because I know you're gonna write a little bit about him at some point, Zach. But this guy is fun. Like, this is the guy you want to be somewhere on the roster, not necessarily playing.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty amazing what he was honestly able to do on Friday, because if you look at it, like, he hadn't gotten a single team rep in training camp. So, like, he wasn't really getting reps with his teammates, essentially. He was getting throws off to the side after practice, like, because he's the fourth quarterback. And then he got thrown in there, and he played most of the second half and outplayed Mike White. He led the game-winning touchdown drive. So, yeah, I think he's earned himself at least a spot on the practice squad. But, yeah, he, like you said, he has a very interesting story. Like, I texted a photo to the group. Because when they won the Grey Cup, they won the Grey Cup, they had like a parade, and I talked to him the other day for like something I'm working on, and I showed him the photo, and then he told me that he had said earlier in the season he's wearing a fur coat with no shirt on and like a cowboy hat
and a cigar.
He said he had planned to wear, yeah, and a cigar in his mouth. He was telling me that like somebody from the crowd like threw him a gold chain that he caught and he put that on. And he said people were like throwing beer cans and wine, full wine bottles of wine at them to like drink, I guess. I don't know. It was just wild. So that's where he started his career. And then he just like bounced around. He was with the Cardinals, played a little bit for them. Ravens and Dolphins, I think, even within this offseason. And then the Jets came calling because they just wanted a training camp arm. And now he's getting legit reps. And he's a fun story. He's got a fun personality. And those are the kind of guys in training camp that you fall in love with, because the way they got here is always interesting. And he's earned himself a spot in the practice squad at the least. Whether they want to keep four quarterbacks, I guess, is the question. But can't hurt to have a guy like that around, I think.
Yeah, he's going to be in the room. And I think your next in-depth featurey story should be the oral history of the 2019 Grey Cup Championship game. What do you think?
I like it. Yeah. By the way, because we're talking about the QB room, I was just thinking about, like, fans are all talking about training for Jimmy G and all this stuff. If you just look at this QB room compared to, I was even looking 2019, how bad it was. Their quarterbacks that year were Sam Darnold, David Fales, Luke Falk, and Trevor Siemian. I think they have three, if not four quarterbacks that are maybe better than all of them right now. So I think, like, I know whenever you have to play a backup, but you're probably not going to be as good, but this is one of the better quarterback rooms they've had in a long time.
Yeah, you can say that for a lot of positions, I think, right? Like, yes, the receiver core, fair, the, yes, the corner, the secondary,
the very it is, true. That's neat. I guess, yeah.
Yeah, the talent level has risen. Joe Douglas has done that. We're going to see if it translates to wins, I guess, or losses on the field. All right, so I think we've given enough shout-outs to Chris Streveler. We'll see how he does. The rest
I'm on the podcast, yeah.
He's going to get, I would think, still significant time, right, the rest of the preseason with Zach out, and you're not going to want to play Joe Flacco very much.
Yeah, I am curious to see how that plays out. Maybe that's something we'll ask them this week, because they have those joint practices, which are pretty good reps for Joe already. So maybe he plays a series each game. They don't want to risk it like they did with Zach, bringing him out there for a second series. And so that leaves, you know, three other quarters to split between Mike White and Streveler. So I hope he does. I mean, like, yeah, he's a fun player to watch in the preseason, that's for sure.
Yeah, he can run. In that Grey Cup Championship game, he wasn't the starter, but they used him because of his athleticism. Threw a touchdown pass, caught a pass, and ran for 30 yards in the victory. So
You have so much CFL knowledge. Who knew?
It's amazing. Wikipedia is your friend.
Yeah.
All right, let's do a couple of fallers. We did a good amount of risers. One of them that stood out to me in your story, just because he's a guy in Ashton Davis, that I feel like when you think about that 2020 draft class and how disappointing it has been overall, he's been like this one guy that there was like this hope, like, okay, he was a project. He could become something. He was the third round pick in that class that's been so bad. And now he's a faller, you know, this summer, just hasn't been able to kind of keep up with some of the other guys battling in the secondary.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Like, so we do this, like the beat writers do this like 53 man roster prediction, and it's due like at the beginning of the preseason is the way they do it, which is a different form of dealt with the past. I kind of like it because you're like guessing what's going to happen in the preseason and stuff like that. But anyway, so I got to safety and I was having a really hard time with Ashton Davis because on one hand, he's a guy they drafted in the third round like 2 years ago. And I think pedigree sometimes does matter in these situations. But on the flip side of that, I don't think I've like noticed him a single time throughout camp. But for a guy that is fighting for a roster spot, that is never a good sign. I think they like him. He works hard. He's got like interesting size and athleticism, which is why he was drafted when he was. But yeah, he just kind of faded from the conversation quite a bit. And Jason Pinnock, who they drafted last year, is like clearly ahead of him. I think the coaching staff loves him. He's the third safety. I think they want him to start eventually, maybe replace LaMarcus Joyner. But yeah, I'm not optimistic that Davis is going to make this team. Maybe he does. Maybe he bounces back in these preseason games. He'll get some playing time. LaMarcus Joyner's been out. I'm sure Jordan Whitehead's not going to play a lot. So he's really gonna have an opportunity to show what he can do, but yeah, it's unfortunate because you know he was a high that 2020 draft class just with each passing day looks worse and worse. It's just rough.
I guess.
So wait, Zach, we do have to chime in here because you know I do produce Birds with Friends, and you did say that this was going to be your homework
Elijah
assignment.
Riley.
Elijah Riley, how has he looked in comparison to Ashton Davis?
Well, I tweeted this at Bo. Well, Bo was at the game actually, but Elijah Riley was one of the captains for the pre-Utah. So I thought that was a big moment for Bo at the very least.
Yeah.
Like I said on the Birds with Friends when he asked me about it, because I wasn't expecting the Elijah Riley question. I haven't noticed him still. I think he'd make the practice squad, though, because he's just like a veteran guy. But yeah, unfortunately, he's stood out about as much as Ashton Davis.
Okay, good to know. Had to chime in on that.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny, the 2020 class, you think third round Ashton Davis. And then the 2021 draft class, fifth round, they got Pinnock. It just kind of, that's a great comparison of those drafts and how they've kind of played out, one being just bad and the other continuing to look really good so far as Pinnock as a fifth rounder. If he's in that third spot and then eventually becomes a starter, like, it's just impressive depth out of that draft for Joe Douglas. All right, one more faller. I originally had Ty Johnson in this list because of Marissa, but we already touched on him. So, Bobby, when given the opportunity, we have to mention Denzel Mims. So go ahead, Zach. I thought he was playing better, but not so much.
That's the thing. It's like he's like so tantalizing with his talent, because he had in that game, even he had a good catch. He had two catches for 25 yards, and then he had a back-to-back stretch where I think he had a drop and a penalty. And then in practice on Tuesday, he had this like amazing catch from Strebler. Actually, it was like a 50-50 ball up in the end zone, and Denzel Mims went up and grabbed it over a guy named Luke Barku, which is a great name. Unfortunately, he got cut later that day, so his last moment with the Jets was getting mossed by Denzel Mims. Yeah, that's the thing. It's just like day-to-day, just like the wild like shifts. Like, I mean, you don't love to see that, and I'm sure the coaches would rather some consistency, but I don't know. The talent is there, and it'd be hard to just straight up cut a guy like that. But they're trying to work him in on special teams. I think they've been saying how he's a work in progress there. He doesn't really get much run with the ones. But again, like guys don't have that size and speed combo very often. So I don't know. I still feel like they're going to try and trade him. You know, that you saw a trade the Eagles just did with the Seahawks, where they swapped J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who was also a second round pick, for a defensive back who was a high pick for the Seahawks. Like, I think that's probably what Joe Douglas is looking for right now. You just can't have a fifth or sixth receiver that like doesn't contribute on special teams. And if he's not playing a lot, then he's probably going to be inactive on game day. Cause you know, are you really going to play him over Jeff Smith? Probably not. You know, they have an undrafted guy in Calvin Jackson who's stood out more than him. So I am very curious to see how this plays out. You know, yeah, again, he has these next two preseason games and the joint practices to really like make a case for himself, whether it's with the Jets or with 31 other teams. But yeah, it was hard for me to put him anywhere but fallers, because he did not stand out enough in that preseason game to like help himself, I don't think. And he hasn't been consistent enough in practice to where you can be like, all right, maybe has a case to stick around. So I know that's not what the fans want to hear, because they're obsessed with him, and that catch was amazing on Tuesday. So if he has more of that, then maybe the next time we talk, it'll be a positive thing.
Yeah, there you go. You mentioned Barku. He was cut along with Derek Kelly, Timmy Ward, and wide receiver Rashard Davis. Those are the cuts so far this week. All right, looking at the chat, Marissa, anything brewing in there?
Well, it was a good segue talking about potential trades there and referencing the Eagles trade. Is there a player that you think could be moved within the next week or two, or a position group that you think Joe Douglas might be targeting?
Yeah, I've actually been thinking about this a little bit. In terms of guys that I think would make sense in possible trades, I think you could include guys in the running back room like a Ty Johnson or LaMichael Perine. Jabari Zuniga is someone that stands out in terms of that. I'm trying to think, there was someone else I had on my mind for this. In terms of what they would trade for, I would say, I mean, everybody's looking for an offensive lineman, so it's hard to find those. But I would say an offensive lineman, maybe a safety, because after Pinnock, I'm not sure they have anyone to be that fourth safety that you really trust. Another guy that I think that would make sense is Brandon Echols, corner. He's a guy that like was a starter for them last year, and now they have such depth at corner that they don't really need him. And I think teams are always looking for corners. So I think they definitely have some valuable guys that they can move. And Mike White is even a name that if a team becomes quarterback desperate, like maybe a team trades for him to be their backup or whatever. So it's weird. It's funny talking about it, because this is like my first camp with the Jets. It feels like they have depth at all these spots. Yeah. So they have the ability to trade away talent, I imagine that it's been a long time since anyone could say that. And it's not like I think this is going to be like a 10-win team, obviously, but the fact that you can sit here in August and be like, oh, they have too many good defensive ends. They have too many good corners. I got to get rid of one of them. Like, it's a good spot to be in for sure.
Yeah. The story has always been at this time of year, like, the Jets, checking out the waiver wire, seeing what players they can grab that are better than the not good players on the roster. So it's a good change for sure to have that kind of depth.
Which, all right, the Jets have the third position in the waiver wire.
Yeah, because they third or fourth, because it's the draft, I think. So they're fourth pick, right? So I think they'll be like fourth, which is a good spot to be in. So they'll be able to. So that's the thing with the 53-man rosters is like the initial one comes and then these players hit the waivers. And so I imagine Joe Douglas would be active, but not like he doesn't need to be as active as he probably was the last couple of years.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. Anything we haven't talked about, Zach? I think we've covered it all.
We didn't talk about golf at all. I don't have
that's true. We didn't even ask. Do you golf?
I do not. Connor is one of many people that keeps trying to get me to do it. I lived in Arizona for a long time and I still never took up golf. I want to. I always said I don't have the like focus or, you know, patience to be good at golf. Like I was
If Connor has the focus and patience to do it, I can't think anything.
I don't have an excuse anymore, actually.
Sorry, Connor.
I fear if I did start, how often Connor would be hitting me up to try and go and golf with him. I don't know, but I should do it because one of my brothers golfs all the time too, and I have friends that do, and it's something to do on the road and stuff. But yeah, I do not golf. If I do start golfing, then I'll have stories to tell about how terrible it's going, I guess.
Yeah, we'll definitely we'll get those on here. We'll probably lead with them every week. So just to
people love it when we do that out here. Yeah.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the show. If you want to read all the great stories, we mentioned Risers and Fallers, all the great stories that Zach is working on. You can join The Athletic right now for $1 a month for 6 months. TheAthletic.com/can't wait is the place to go for that. We mentioned two games next week because they play Monday night and then Sunday. We'll be checking in between those two games with the next episode of the Can't Wait podcast. Talk to everybody then.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.